Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
We should start our show.
And we have started. This is episode 192 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. And we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of Fessworks.com. And of course, with me, we have the Webcomic Beacon crew here. We have Tanya Higgins of the Webcomic Beacon. Welcome to the show.
Of daisiesandshitproductions.com. Finally, hello.
There you go. And Mark Savory of the Robot Pavilion. And AutumnLake.com, welcome to the show.
Well, hello there.
Let's see here. We don't have the newscast as it normally broadcasts this week because all three of the main crew from that one are out at assorted conventions, I hear. And so the core program is going to be taking over the newscast, in this... because
in this decidedly not swashbuckling manner,
right? But we have I was going to be recording an episode of Web Fiction World later today, which is why I was going to do this one show, but we had to reschedule that for next week, so speaking of other programming, if you go to webcastbeacon.com, you will see Mike's still working on the cross-browser updates to make everything look how he's actually designing it. But if you have Firefox 4, for sure, you pretty much got what the design is supposed to look like. And so that is where the new home of the Webcomic Beacon is going to be. I will be updating the feeds, both the RSS and the iTunes feeds, for the Webcomic Beacon and all the shows, as well as making a master feed link. And that should be quite cool. I'm hoping to have this launch in a week. If not, I don't know. But you can still go there and you can check everything out and let us know if there's anything broken about it. Just don't use the iTunes link because it basically links to this old iTunes feed for the Webcomic Beacon only, which is going to get updated. But
as soon as you get me the links.
Yep, I gotta make sure. But go ahead, check it out. Let us know what you think. You can check out the new, basically redone about page. You can check out the shows page. The webcast, the Web Fiction World, should come up soon after the Webcast Beacon website launches, if not when it does. But I'm really digging the site. And Diana Nock of Jinxville.com and the Intrepid Girlbot has done the inks for the new Becky art, as well as the Beacon Tower, which you can see in the background. Mike Sisk of Webcomic and Inkblot designed the website. Well, I designed it with him as far as this is what I want, but I let him go for a lot of it, so it's pretty much a lot of it is his design, too. So, and, of course, he's coding the whole thing, and we thank you all for... We thank Diana and, of course, Mike for the work on the new website. Anyway.
Yeah, that.
This is Webcomic Beacon episode 192. This is the newscast, mostly. And the Webcomic Beacon and the newscast are going to remain as one show, though the newscast will have a separate feed if, for some reason, you just want to hear the newscast. but the Tropecast will become its own separate podcast, and so that will be a separate feed that will no longer be a part of the Webcomic Beacon because, you know, tropes are not just webcomic stuff. And, of course, Web Fiction World will be its own show once it's out. This is going to be the newscast for May 29th, 2011, and we're going to start this off with a couple of bits of news. First off, I guess a sort of a milestone. Howard Taylor hits 4,000 consecutive strips for Schlock Mercenary. I originally found an article on Fleen about this, and of course the original source is going to be at schlockmercenary.com. And so congratulations to that. It's not so much that it's 4,000, it's 4,000 consecutive. This is a man, I don't think he's ever missed an update, has he?
You got to hand it to him.
Not to my knowledge. He does run a decent buffer, I thought. Or tries to.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he's missed.
Hmm. Yeah, we had him on the show for PangoCon 2 years ago, and he was telling us about that. It was not last PangoCon, but the year before last PangoCon. And I think he had a few months ahead, but he kind of burned through it when he got sick, I guess, a few months after we had him on the show. So I'm not sure where he is now, but still, congratulations on that. And of course, with that comes a link to tvtropes.org, a list of long-running webcomics, including ones that are over 5,000, which will include MS Paint Adventures, Problem Sleuth, Homestruck, you know. They're all in the same vein there. Over 4,000, which Schlock Mercenary joined Sluggy Freelance. User-friendly.
Wait a minute. I loved it in 5,000. You skipped over the only one that I really read, which is Kevin and Kel.
Oh, there it is. I was looking at the beginning of all the lists there. Kevin and Kel. Longest webcomic on record. Well, I was just I'm quickly looking through the list, and they have the link to that far over. I didn't see it.
I'm just saying, Kevin and Kel totally deserves a shout-out. It's like, absolutely. I think it's the only furry comic I read, too. And
I don't even consider it a furry comic.
Well, they are animals. Really. Is it just anthropomorphic?
It seems more anthropomorphic animals to me than furries. Furries imply they have sex.
No, it doesn't. Do you really want me to get into this?
Pressure to rise fast.
Do you really want me to get into this?
He's been gone so long, and we miss your freakouts.
Well, you got to do better than that. Anyway.
I appreciate Kevin and Kel because of the way he uses animals to explore difficult human subjects. You know, it takes it like one layer of removal and kind of calms things a bit and makes you look at it from a different perspective. And it's just brilliant writing. You can go on now.
Okay. We do have a question from the chat room from Tree Lobsters related to milestones, so to speak. We're being asked if we're doing anything special for episode 200. I haven't been paying attention, so I'm not sure. Maybe.
You know what? Chances are good that's falling on a week we don't actually do something.
Well, we're still going to have an episode 200.
Well, yeah. Well, so when is that? What are we doing?
Well, since this is episode... Hang on. Let me look at the calendar right now. And this is a good chance to tell you guys what we have coming up for shows. So this is episode 192. I'm going to guess we already have something scheduled now that I'm looking at it. So this is episode 192. Next week, we'll have the newscast. That'll be 193. And the Webcomic Beacon Journal Comics. That'll be 194. And then on the next Sunday, the 12th...
We're including the newscast.
Newscast is a part of the Webcomic Beacon.
Okay.
I think that's a cheat.
I think it's a cheat, too.
I think you're a big cheater.
I'm not going to go through and separate the newscast from the current archive that's already been counting.
I think it's artificially inflated.
Only the Tropecast is artificially inflating the numbers. But they're staying in here until they separate, so.
You big cheetah.
Yep. Anyway, we have... And then on the 12th, of course, we're just having the newscast, so that's 95. And then on the 19th, we're going to have Webcomic Beacon Watercoloring. With Jilly Fu of Demon Eater, Bug Bite of Messenger, and the guy who does the Don Chapel, I forget what was his name, because I already knew the other two people. Don Chapel, I think he, stupid typing, at donchapel.com, this is by, as soon as I see, oh yeah, Beetroot. That's what I had from the email. I don't know his first name, sorry. But we're looking to get him on the show, and as well as with the other two girls, and so that will be cool times, because we haven't had the watercoloring episode yet, and that's what it's going to be. That'll be 97 after the newscast, 96. I think the episode 200 is end up going to be something that I already have scheduled.
Okay, oh, good.
So wait, it's 92 today. 93, 94, 95, 96, 97... 98, 99, no, because episode 199 is when we're going to have Frump finally on, well, aside from last week, apparently, which he was brought on, and I was trying to get him on for a while. But apparently I was the one who was supposed to schedule the show. So it looks like Sunday, July 3rd, I won't be there. So, and then there's the 10th and the 2nd, so we'll be delayed by the time we get to the second 200th episode, which I guess will be on the 17th then, since...
July 17th.
I'll be gone on the 3rd. And, of course, the 10th is the second Sunday. Okay, the answer is, we'll see. If anybody has any ideas, please send ideas to us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And hopefully we'll make it fun. If not... too bad. Anyway, we have in the mindset of milestones, the next bit comes as a bit of a loss to us. PC Weenies is going on indefinite hiatus after 13 years.
Yeah.
Of course, like many people in denial, that's not what he actually said. He says, "Well, at least last PC Weenies comic ever." Well, at least for some time. No promises. You know what that means? It's indefinite hiatus. It's pretty much over.
Well,
I don't know. He's more of a pro, eh?
Well, true. But if we look at the history of webcomics, no.
We can say that there is... it's not encouraging.
It's not in its favor to come back.
It is not encouraging that he will be returning with any regularity.
So I think this is the cue for playing some bagpipes for the death of another long-running comic.
Well, we don't know that.
Well.
How many updates are we talking about for him?
Well, it's been on for 13 years. I don't know what his actual number is.
Be over 5,000 if he's been running that long, huh?
Well, actually, according to TV Tropes, let's see, PC.
But I didn't see him on this list here.
It's not on the list.
Well, okay, but you have to submit to that list. It's not like it's God.
You don't have to submit. I mean, a fan could put it on there.
And that's why Autumn Lake is not listed here, because I'm well over 1,000 updates, but, gee, I don't have any fans.
Actually. I'll tell you what. I will contact one of your rabid fans, since you apparently don't know them. Sheesh.
I don't have any fans.
And you do, actually.
Yeah, you don't remember? I remember.
Yeah. No, I will contact Alia, and I bet we can get her to do it. How about that?
I wish I could contact a girl and get her to do things. But it's pretty tough. Anyway, I need to make an update, don't I?
Yeah.
I haven't updated in about a week or two. I need to do that.
So
let's find PC Weenies here.
It's not on the list, though.
It's not on the list, but that means that somebody has to go through and find out how many updates he has. So get on that, everybody. All right. So as we are struggling to try to do the newscast justice, let's see what we got going here. Man, I am just abusive today.
Damn you.
It's like every beacon from PenguinCon out is just going to be an attempt to get me to have another breakdown.
I'm not trying. In any case, brought up on the newscast once before, it was brought up that especially like e-comics or comics that are sold digitally online don't show up in an iTunes separately. So that's why people went to make basically their own apps for their own comic. But it looks like now iTunes Store actually lets you search for comics. And this comes from Robot6. Who is quoting from ICV2 that iTunes Store now lets you search for comics. So, yay.
I guess I don't understand what that even means. I don't do the iTunes deal. Like, I don't have an iPhone.
Well, you can search for music on the iTunes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And you can also search for apps.
Okay. Yeah.
But you couldn't really search for comics that were available unless they had their own separate app. Versus like how the Kindle.
So you can have like an iTunes feed for your comic is what you're saying.
Oh wait. I think I went this about wrong. You know how the Kindle is like one program?
Yeah.
And within that program you can download books and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, all those books and stuff are not searchable on iTunes, just the Kindle would be.
Okay.
So, graphically and those other digital comic, you know, Comixology, you know, they'll have their app on there, but all the comics underneath that are not searchable.
So now you can search for the comic, and then if you need to get the app to read that comic, get the app.
Yes, and... Okay.
That makes perfect sense to me now.
And maybe that's just something they came out with, so they still feel that they can get away with charging everybody 20% of all sales within other people's apps, despite Apple not actually hosting said content, which was
not that
issue.
We would ever have an Apple rant on this show.
Oh, never. Never. Speaking of iTunes, you have to have your credit card information to them before you even get an account. It's like,
yeah, because they want you to buy
crap. Yeah, but I already had to download a specific program for them and not use a browser.
Okay, the words have to here are giving me a fucking conniption. You didn't have to do crap. You could have said, hey, Tanya, since you have none of these issues with Apple, would you do this for me? Or you could have just said, fuck you, iTunes, I'm not putting it up there.
I didn't want to bother you.
Told the three fans that asked for it on there to blow you. You have options, Fest.
I know I have options, but Ira is actually trying, but then it just pissed me off.
And your sound has gone shite again.
Aye.
Welcome to the newscast, everyone. Aren't you glad you got up early? Holy crap.
Well, according to the chat room, no, they didn't.
Hi, Steve.
So, yeah, it must be Skype messing with what you guys... Yes, he says it sounds okay here, so it's Skype.
Okay.
Ever since Microsoft bought Skype...
All right, I'll shut up about it then.
That's right, that's also news. Microsoft bought Skype. I don't know if that was mentioned last newscast.
Yeah, and let me tell you, it's news all right.
Oh, they'll probably make you force you do a .NET, Microsoft.NET bullshit with it.
You know, really all that's happened is that they're trying to make it look like Facebook. Because everything needs to look like Facebook. I don't understand this.
I hate Facebook. Hate it. Yeah.
Icons to the left, things on the right. You know, it's like da 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 da. It's all going to be in this little formatty. I don't know. Everything looks fucking chibi to me these days. I can't stand it. It's like business chibi. They're trying to make it cute and personable in like a sterile environment.
And do it by committee.
Weird. Yeah, exactly. It's like it's committee aesthetics. That always works so well. Microsoft. You know, okay, here's something that breaks my brain about Microsoft. You have Microsoft, which is this strict, rigid, use our stuff, nothing else. We won't work with anybody else. Blah, 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 blah. The biggest fucking poly community on the planet works for Microsoft. Like, you will find more poly people working for Microsoft than anywhere. It's become a joke now that, you know, you'll go somewhere to poly meetup or whatever and say, hey, where do you work? And everyone in the room will laugh and say Microsoft. Like, it's a fucking joke. How can these people work for this rigid, like, if anywhere you would think would be some sort of strict, monogamous, bizarre white picket fence community, it would be Microsoft. But no.
Because it's ironic, and irony is trendy these days.
I guess. They're all like massively liberal swingers. I don't get it. What's up, Microsoft? All right. I'm done.
Awesome. And with that, we're gonna take a quick break and hopefully salvage the rest of this newscast.
Till there.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on a Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And now, back to our show.
The largest cucumber we ever saw was shown to us by Mr. Mariner. It was 5 feet 8 inches long and 11 inches in circumference.
You're kidding me.
North Carolina, 1889. But I just love that sentence.
Yeah.
The largest cucumber we ever saw was shown to us by Mr. Mariner. Sounds so
dirty. That cucumber is taller than I am.
What?
A 5'8" long? That's longer than me. I'm 5'5".
Dr. Ruth would like it. I don't know. Anyway.
Lots of Ruth.
Anyway, webcomics. Is my vocal still bad?
Oh, so crap. Yes.
All right. Hung up on you.
But if it's crap for me and good for everybody else, don't worry about it. I don't matter.
You do matter.
Hey.
Well, not in terms of audio quality, I don't. Steve's not complaining.
No, just you. Anyway, so one last bit of news we have before we get to tidbits, which I have no idea. Where's the freaking window? Yes, least I can do is apparently going to be, has a Kickstarter going to make an animated pilot episode.
I know.
This comes from Comics Talk, which reported from Fleen, which basically found out via tweets.
Yep. Randy Mulholland's been tweeting about it.
Yes. Since Kickstarter doesn't work for Canadians, he set up the Kickstarter forum, so yes. There you go. Tanya?
Yes?
Would you like to comment on this story?
I'm really excited! All right, okay. Everybody comes out of the woodwork to say how much they hate Least I Can Do. I don't give a crap. I love it. Mainly because Rain reminds me of my husband, which... Okay, we can take it however we want. I completely identify with Rain because he lives with me. And I love Least I Can Do, and I'm super excited. I want to watch it. I want to sit there with my husband watching that and just being absorbed in the mirror world.
Well, I do have to admit. I have to admit that while Least I Can Do isn't my comic to read, I can't really say anything since I am buying Duke Nukem Forever next month, and he is the most chauvinistic, terrible example for any man on the planet sexist he is.
I don't necessarily think that Rain is chauvinistic.
I know, but I can't say anything if I'm going to be getting Duke Nukem.
Well, yeah, there is that.
But it is finally coming out. But anyway, so
so they say
it's gone gold. That means it's printed and they're making copies for sale.
Yeah, I'm not going to believe it until I see it on a shelf.
Well.
And you know what? I skipped it. It was cool 13 years ago. I don't give a crap anymore.
Mm. Now, in this article, I find it interesting. He talks a little bit about how he went and was trying to work with the Canadian equivalent of the Cartoon Network or their branch of Cartoon Network, and how they wanted to make all these wacky ass changes, and then they just took all his ideas and made their own show anyway. Probably something that anybody who wants to get into this area probably ought to keep in mind as a cautionary tale.
Yeah, unfortunately, when you go to pitch things, there have been a number of instances where somebody's gone to pitch something, or somebody's gone in to like a portfolio review, and they'll pitch an idea they have, and then something extraordinarily similar will come out, you know, the next run, and at that point there's not really a lot you can do.
Get a lawyer.
You can, but you're most likely going to spend a hell of a lot of money and not get that back. There are things you can do to protect yourself. Make sure that everything's copyrighted. Make sure that you let them know that you've pitched to several companies. I've heard people say that. Even if it's the first one you go into, say, I've already pitched this with blah, 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 list different places. If they get the impression that other people know about this project, they're going to be less likely to do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe. It still comes down to just having really good copyright. And
TV rips off TV all the time, too.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, it's also hard to prove that they've stolen a concept. Now, if they take all your character names and the plot, well, that's really easy to prove. And you can sue them and have no problem. But if they take the concept and run with it, there's nothing new under the sun. Your concept is not unique. And so you can't prove squat.
Which is why we should steal from TV and next PenguinCon make our own little sitcom thing.
You know, I've thought about this since.
We have a few. We have a year, ish.
We do. We do have a year. And speaking of which, are you only putting conventions up to a certain date on the convention list?
Let's see here.
They have announced the venue and the dates for PenguinCon next year. It's going to be the, I think it's, what is it, 27th?
Well, I'm not sure. I've updated the Webcast Beacon, I think the About page, as well as the Webcomic Beacon About page for the conventions we're going to section.
Yeah, I just want to know how far out, because I'm scheduling into 2012. And I'm tangential today. I apologize. I am sorry, listener.
They should be used to that by now.
I'm sorry.
At least from me, anyway.
Paying any attention. Yeah. Anyway, least I can do.
Yeah.
Kickstarter. They've got 54 days to go. They've got almost 54,000 pledged, and they're going for 75. So wow. It's totally doable. That's actually, you know, they're doing really well. And the little, what do you call those, incentives are great. They've got a nice range of incentives, which I love. So, also, if you're on Kickstarter, look up Sales of Blood, which has been done by fellow Squid, Ozzy Longoria. He he's done the art for that, and it looks brilliant, and I totally hopped in on that one. So
cool. Speaking of Squidworks, I think we still got to get Stan Yen on a show sometime to tell us about stuff. I think.
I think we do too.
I forgot what it was. Business something or getting started?
Yeah, just basically setting up the business of a webcomic. What that looks like tax wise. What that looks like. As far as building a 5-year plan.
All right, we'll do that. Also, another idea: how to put together a portfolio. I think we got to get some people on for that. I don't know who.
I can do that as well. I've had people do successful. I know squids that have done successful portfolio reviews with DC and Marvel and
excellent,
really big boys.
Because I know some people have online portfolios as well, but
a little less successful.
A little less successful, yeah, but. It's still a good, portfolios is an important thing to do, especially if you're looking to, I guess, sell yourself.
Basically. Well, if you're doing commissions, you should absolutely have an online portfolio. There's no excuse for it. And it shouldn't be DeviantArt. I'm sorry. I love DeviantArt. I do. I love what they do, and I love that things are available there. But if you're looking to do, like, professional illustrator work, like, you know, maybe do menus and advertising for local companies, things like that, don't send them any DeviantArt link. My God. These are businesses.
Yeah.
Have a little shame.
Have a little bit, at least. So there's a few tidbits here we have going along. Apparently, somebody was doing a webcomic about Law and Order, and I think with the guy who produces it, you got a copy of it, Dick Wolf. And there's a picture of him on Comics Alliance holding a framed print of... on the next episode of Law and Order, and it's a little bit more than stick figures explaining basically what happens in an episode. So that's kind of cool. Get a little shout out. I don't know if it was mentioned last newscast, because I forget. Maybe it was, but there was something somewhere. Somebody was drawing like Conan O'Brien. From all of his episodes, hoping to get on his show if he saw him. So I was like, this one's not trying to reach out though, but he was like, holy shit, guys. Christopher Minoli owns a signed copy of the comic. That's who it is. But it's like, yeah, cool. But he wasn't even trying. But it's cool when you get all these little hints of validation, basically.
Because we are all validation whores.
Absolutely. Indeed.
Every damn one of us.
Hello, sailor.
And, of course, as had been on the newscast before, the Tokyopop, gone. Basically, well, from the U.S. shores anyway. And so that was the question, what happens to the World of Warcraft and StarCraft mangas? Ooh, what's going to happen? Well, they're going to go digital now with Cryptozoic. This is reported from Robot 6. So if you were wanting these, they're going to be digital.
Here. Well, and apparently you all could have just skipped the podcast and went to Robot 6. Just
well,
let's do that.
This is a news and commentary show, so.
Oh! Oh, it's like the soup. Okay.
Only, man, is the soup topical. Still using 3D graphics from 1990?
You know what? I haven't seen the soup in...
I swear I saw it like maybe like 4 years ago, and it's like, these are the same fucking graphics I saw when I was a kid.
I don't think it's a high-budget show.
You don't need a high budget these days to make a new graphic.
Well, maybe they think it's kitschy.
Yep, maybe.
Well, I don't watch it. It's the only thing I could pull as far as clip shows. I only watch crap reality TV. I have no idea what's going on with the rest of the world.
Well, with the rest of the world, people have been using HTML5 to make webcomics for, I think, the blind and the deaf.
Mm-hmm. See, and, I don't really get that. I'm sorry, I don't quite get that. Webcomics for the deaf.
Yeah, I have no idea what the deaf has to do with anything.
Wait a minute, maybe...
The sample comic here shows the characters, like, signing at each other. It just... I don't know. Is it necessary? I don't know.
They can read!
Well, true, but this is more like reaching out to having other types of characters.
Okay, here's my point. You don't need HTML5...
No, but
to have a webcomic for the deaf.
No,
or
but there
reaches
was
out to the deaf community.
There was one before that used HTML5 for the blind.
Well, now that makes perfect sense.
Right.
So most blind people, I'm going to go with all blind people that I know that use the computer have programs that kind of do that for them. And as long as you have like an iRobot or something that transcribes your comic into actual text, the programs that they use to troll the web will read it for them. So you don't necessarily need it, but it is nice because there's added functionality.
Yeah, but that's also if you have, you know, own a robot. I mean, these are images with text in them, of course, so there's going to have to be some extra work. But
right, which is why I'm saying, like, if you wanted to reach out to the blind community, but you don't want to deal with HTML5, transcribe your comics into text. You don't even actually have to have it visible on the page. The programs that the blind use to navigate the web will pick up that text and read the comic.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's good.
There are ways around it.
That's news commentary here on Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
I'll be like our special needs segment.
Well, MTV Geek, which reported this, though we did talk about the Bifter last time, which they also talk about, which is the HTML5 for the blind comic. The MTV Geek labels it differently abled comics. So
okay,
the differently abled thing.
That's okay.
Is weird.
It's weird. Okay. It's better than saying disabled. You're supposed to empower these people.
Yeah, because they need it because they're downtrodden.
Yeah, I understand. I work with persons with mental disabilities, so.
And yeah, and so it's kind of insulting on the back end. It's a backhanded compliment, you know. Anyway, I usually go with special needs, but that's just because we all have special needs.
Oh, it's just man, some of us especially me.
Are more practical than others. More practical needs.
A last bit of tidbits we have here is Jess Fink drew. I think she does the robot Chester
5000.
The robot romantic robot born. drew a cover for Comic Alliance's Great Comics That Never Happened series and drew a bunch of DC slash basically for a cover. So they got, like, I think Robin and the Flash making out and and stuff. So apparently there's like a whole a series of different types of covers that people have drawn, and so people can go ahead and check that out at Comics Alliance. And of course, this was posted on Jess Fink's live journal at finkenstein.livejournal.com, because I just had to say Finkenstein.
It is kind of a cool deal. And I loved the makeout cover.
Of course you would.
I did. Yep. It was awesome. It's all that sexual tension for decades. It's about time somebody let it out.
Absolutely.
They're running around in tights. Come on.
Now, I didn't have any other sort of bits of news I could find, because I basically woke up this morning and was like, oh, there's no notes. So I quick ran out to all the typical sites and grabbed what I could.
We could talk about how we're supposed to hide the fact that we're completely unprofessional.
No, this is all about transparency. You know that buzzword that people are using these days?
Buzzword, huh?
How about I transparently hate buzzwords?
No, I wanted to talk about this. Scott Kurtz, on the episode 80 of Webcomics Weekly, excuse me, went on a rant about the whole webcomics term, or webcomicer, or webcartoonist.
Yeah.
It's not for him. And I totally understand where he's coming from. I don't entirely agree where he's going with it, but
you're
understand.
You're
going
to have to assume that not everyone has read this.
Of course. Well, it's from the podcast. He's basically saying, you know, he's grown up to the point where he just wants to be called a cartoonist. He doesn't...
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to be... You know, he wants to separate himself from the webcomics scene, and not everybody on the show agreed with him to the same extent that he was talking about. And I forget specifically which other person was like, yeah, I'll call this a webcomic because it's delivered on the web. That's where you get your readers, etc. And I totally understand this. You know, this you know, he wants to be taken seriously, and he feels like the word webcomics is just lumping him into a category, and rightly so, I think, because you do kind of have a mentality when you're looking at the professional angle as a cartoonist. Oh, it's just a webcomic. But when you say webcomic, you know exactly what you're talking about. Basically, a comic that's online. There it is.
Well, why doesn't he just call himself an illustrator and be done with it?
He's calling himself a cartoonist.
Illustrator is a separate thing.
Yeah. He's calling himself a cartoonist.
I mean, like, I couldn't be an illustrator, but I'm a comic artist. Like, illustrators, when I hear illustrator, and I think when most people in industry hear illustrator, they think things like illustrator for medical texts and museums, and they think that kind of illustration. They don't necessarily think
commercial illustration.
Right. Yeah. I think illustrator has been taken. My issue with cartoonist is that it seems to be regional, in that in some areas, cartoonist means animator. There hasn't been a really distinct separation between cartoonist and animator in different areas.
I understand that, but, you know, cartoonists came first, and because people grew up not being corrected, basically, that no, cartoonist doesn't mean to make cartoons as in animated cartoons. It's that they make cartoons as in cartoonic figures and jokes and such. They were print. Cartoons are print. Way before.
Cartoons are animated. That's what I thought.
Nope. Animations are animated.
And that's what I'm saying. It seems to really be regional.
So let's take it back. Animations are animations.
You know,
cartoons are not.
Artist. I do comics. Because the other thing with cartoonists is that even if you are taking it as, you know, doing a strip, like a cartoon strip, it still tends to, in people's minds, elicit sort of like gag-a-day, Sunday funnies sort of thing. And that's not what I do.
Well, and that's understandable. So,
no, I'm not going to go with cartoonist. I'm not a cartoonist. I'm a comic creator.
You don't do the funny, right?
I do the funny in full page format and... You know, and this is the other thing. You know, it's not that, and that's what I mean. It's not Sunday funny type stuff. And the other thing is that Scott Kurtz is a print cartoonist as well. Like, he has print comics.
No, I understand that.
It wouldn't make any sense for him to call himself a web cartoonist. I call myself a comic creator because I do it kind of online and also in print. So, yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
And like I said, the whole Webcomics Weekly crew didn't entirely exactly agree with them. And yeah. I forget which one it was that was actually saying, no, they'll still call themselves a web cartoonist because it signifies what they're doing, you know, what the product is. And that's, you know, the start of it, at least. And then it's available.
It comes down to whether or not people find that a degrading term or not.
Right. And you can totally understand being lumped in with basically webcomics, web cartoonists, covers a huge span of skill and types, skill levels and types. And
people who don't consider themselves professional, who are doing it, you know, as a joke between friends and whatever else, they're webcomics. Right.
But the thing is, it's like when you get to, you're a cartoonist in the professional realm because all the other people aren't allowed in unless somebody else thinks they're good enough and to throw money at them, basically.
Wow.
So to speak, you know what I'm saying? Because he's going for that level of separation to stand out. And I don't think Scott Kurtz can really stand out any more than he already does. Not trying to be mean, but it's the truth.
I think it would make sense, too, if you are looking for professional work, calling yourself a web cartoonist is not going to look great on your resume.
That's the world of business, is semantics. It is.
Okay, and the world of business is where we get our money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we do kind of have to think about that. Calling yourself Absolutely. A web cartoonist is not, it's not resume fodder.
Right. I used to say webcomicker, but then somebody said web cartoonist. You know what? That sounds more intelligent. Webcomicker, that's not even a real word.
Yeah, but. Typically, I describe myself as a comicker, unless I want to go with comic creator, because I'm not just a comic artist. Mostly what I do is writing, and if I say comic writer, then people think I'm talking about comedians. Yeah, so I go with comic creator.
Yeah.
It's longer than, like,
it's longer. Comicker. It takes longer to say. Vital half seconds out of your elevator pitch.
My Twitter, my character count. Yeah, it's still semantics. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it probably is exactly like sexual orientation. Whatever you want to call yourself, baby. It doesn't matter. Go for it. We will allow for self-designation.
Well, I suppose, since we were talking about the size of one's archive earlier.
Exactly.
Oh, you make it sound dirty.
Let's see.
And
so
you've hit the end.
No, it's like, you know, I started calling myself, referring to myself as a cartoonist as well in some areas, even before I heard this episode. Especially when you're talking about, like, trying to get on, like, putting a panel up at a convention or something like that. Or, like, I say I produce podcasts. Using those fancy extra words, like producer. It's, you know, it's just angles that honestly work. You got to be able to back it up a bit, but you get that word in there as that's what they'll see first. Well, I do webcomics. Well, not just web, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then you almost have to feel like you have to defend the word webcomics or explain it in some situations anyway. But, you know, that's life.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never... I don't know that I've really had that problem, like getting on panels and things, that I've had to sound super professional. It's kind of like if you just... I guess there is some of it that if you sound like you know what you're talking about, people assume that you do. There's a confidence factor. And if you give yourself a confident title, mm-hmm. that probably helps. When I say that I'm a comic creator, that probably sounds better than this big, long explanation. You know?
Absolutely.
I draw and write comics that go on the web sometimes, but it doesn't update. But then later it will, and then I write this other one, but it doesn't come out until... Please. Nobody's going to have me on anything. No. I'm a comic creator. And I've never had a problem getting on a panel. Though that might be boob factor.
Take a drink.
I'd be like, oh, look, token chick.
Take a shot. There we go. You mentioned boobs.
Oh, I did earlier, too, because of the spider.
Oh, right. The nipple. I said nipple.
That's not a trope. That's just a weirdness.
So we're
going to
take.
Mark's happy now, but
we're going to take one quick break, and then we'll be right back and finish this off.
There comes a time when a gamer has the fun.
When you're still a nerd and still annoyed. There are cats with macros.
Oh, and sex and drugs and Satan. At least
that's what your parents think.
Except my dad, who needs tech support help again.
There's too much stuff, but still I'm making bacon.
Just like our neighbor here's on the bedroom floor.
Oh, yeah. Purple, purple, purple.
So save me, Obama. We've got Shakespearean pies
and almost 100 words for boobs.
We are the FOMP, the Funny Music Project. And this year track is our 500th song. What did you expect?
Christian Bale's Chipmunk.
And not counting My Name Is Not Ruth Griffin.
Right.
Well, the world is made of ass everywhere.
So we need a national ass directory.
So let's all go out and kick an emo kid's ass today.
Get a car, Mitchell,
and drink a triple shot.
To post more songs, even though God hates comedy musicians.
Whoa, been around for 4 years.
Damn, it sucks to get
so
old.
So give us all a hand.
It's not true that nobody loves the comedy band.
That's a double negative.
When you're the king of Kong, but find out it's just a dream.
When you're all out of beer and you want a Wilhelm scream.
Wah, 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 when you realize all everything's a song.
Then you can join in and sing along.
Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are the FOMP. We got GarageBand. Do cello shots while drinking with Jedi. And you'll lose your hand. There's a whole lot of love, and we all feel happy. It is the ultimate showdown of destiny.
We are the FOMP. My songs are squicker. Involved in cows and Santa Claus.
You've had enough liquor.
Whether it's Guitar Hero or Dig Dug that you play,
it's true, see us for letters across the USFNA.
Burka!
We are the FOMP.
We are the FOMP.
We'll take Hakuna Matata
as parody fodder.
And turn that song into one about Cthulhu or Harry Potter.
Avada Kedavra.
Lampoon jet plane tweeting. Or BP oil spill doom.
My cat is a friend of the vacuum cleaner. The way it goes, vroom, vroom, vroom. Hold on, I gotta take this.
We are the FOMP.
We are the FOMP.
No, we are the Vikings.
We are the Vikings.
Write you a song about a zombie mom, if that's too you like it.
Twilight, bit of spiky.
Vampires,
pretty tunes of kids.
Goddamn, Mark, good shout out.
And Hobbit's tooth.
hide their lot.
Especially if you're an old lady,
but you used to be hot.
What's the time?
It's time to take pills!
We're like a pill for when earworms make you queasy. No half-ass rapper, I'm the Mac.
And I'm a PC.
And when the universe is trying to kill Seville, dude, turn to us, cause we got a
fucking attitude!
We are the funk, united by shared discontentment. When the radio isn't playing anything demented,
soon we'll be famous with millions, mansions, boats, and cars.
Just like Paul and Storm, Jonathan Colton, and MC Lars. On Thursday night's Dementia Radio, we're casting live all over Dr. Demento's Funny 25. We are the funk, connected by an art form. Love for music that rocks and mocks the norm.
My senses.
Come to your senses.
Soda known to Hannibal.
Army Greasley's rockin' too.
Submit your song to the sideshow, and the next hit could be by you.
Have a peanut butter sandwich.
Bow to the cog.
Bow to the cog.
You bend to our will.
You bend to our will.
And I command that
mole rat.
Monroe shot Rudolph? Good grief.
Photoshop my boobles.
You must give me beef.
Oh, come on, I'm not covering all your
we
asses.
We are the fun.
We are the fun.
The Funny Music Project.
And this is your track. It's our 500th song. What did you expect?
And bacon.
Damn it, I didn't record that. I gotta be quicker. So I've been watching some anime recently. Mark, you remember that one time ago I brought up that ad for something called The Master of the Martial Arts, where it's basically these tropey girls are fighting each other, and every time they hit each other, shreds of their clothes just disintegrate.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I saw that on Netflix. It's like only 5 episodes, and the trailer is basically, yeah, that's what happens. You get punched in the butt, and there goes flying off half your pants. And it's like, what the fuck? I'm watching this, because it's like wondering what the hell it was. And basically, it's just gratuitous fighting. It's got decent animation in the fighting. Every other time, it's the most cheapest animation, screen shaking, reused explosions, and blurring lights, and and then the plot itself is so terrible. It is so terrible. Maybe the book's better, but...
No, it's porn for people who are too high-strung for porn. Like, if you're too repressed to watch real people, that's where you go.
Well, sometimes I can see some anime and think, well, I like the idea of it. I like some of the world and the premise of it, but it's a little too gratuitous here and there. It didn't even have any sort of saving factors. Like, the idea that they were going for is completely ruined by the end by some sort of conspiracy crap going on of revenge and shit. It's like, what the fuck is this?
But that's what I'm saying. It's not really meant to be writing and plot and good. It's just meant to be, you know, kind of a jerk fest. That's what it's for. It's a bubblegum jerk fest.
It's something.
It's a bubblegum jerk fest. It's for people who still giggle at the word masturbate. Oh my god, it's for you guys. Holy shit.
Let's see here. So,
and isn't that the point? Whenever you have that sort of thing, shreds of clothing and excess panting and that sort of nonsense, but no actual sex, isn't that just, like, prepubescent
Maybe if they can't get the real thing or find out, oh, look, the internet, there's porn.
Hence prepubescent wank right. fodder. I'm talking like 11 and 12 year olds here.
Anyway, the thing is like I don't mind a little bit of gratuitousness as long as it's not blatant. It's like I can that's a boob shot or a little shot of panties, but not when it happens so frequently where it's like this is just what it is. I like a good story to go along with it. I mean, there's this other anime that I watched, which is called Shikibana Hime, or Corpse Princess. Which is, yeah. I really like the world, I like a lot of the premise, I like a lot of the aspects of it, but there's a lot of panty shots, and just, you know, you get your badass girl that, you know, you got some tropey women in there as well, but it felt more like there was a plot and story that actually did want to be told. And,
I just found my copy of Professor Payne yesterday. That's gratuitous. Like... people losing clothing in fighting is... that's not gratuitous. That's just... I don't know, formulaic.
Anyway, webcomics. Well, speaking of webcomics, I guess the Webcomics Weekly is going to have to change themselves to cartoonists sometimes. Sorry. I don't know
why... Why are you like that?
Because I have to, because I've never really fully been weekly. And I'm just digging at Scott a little bit.
You have to.
And we all know that none of them listen to any other podcasts or listen or read any other webcomics. Well, at least a couple of them. So it's not like they're going to hear us.
What is wrong with you?
Nothing.
What? Why?
I can dig because they're not going to hear about it. Or if they do, they don't care. I have total respect for these guys for being able to do what they do.
Clearly.
And when you get popped there, you're gonna get digs. And I'm being fun about them. It's not like those sons of bitches are blah blah blah. It's not like I'm being hateful. I'm just having a little bit of a joke at their expense, and that's fine. It's not like I care that much to be really serious to go at it. Unlike some people, which have to take everything seriously, but which I haven't seen a whole lot of those people online lately.
Are you okay? You've gone down a rabbit hole here.
I don't know where I am. It's been so long since we all have been on this show together. I don't know how to react anymore.
Vess is lost.
I'm lost.
Is anyone around to hold you?
I don't know. Let me look at the chat room. Oh, Marshmallow Kitty's there.
I sort of meant in person, but...
Oh, okay. No. Nope, it's just me today. I gotta go over and help Diana with she's getting Comcast today, so I have a spare modem and router that I'm gonna lend her so that she doesn't have to rent a modem, because that's ridiculous. By the way, if anyone's getting Comcast, never rent a modem. In the first year, you already should have just bought one.
Yeah.
So
it's okay if you do it for like a month because you're busy, but
yeah,
long-term rental doesn't make sense.
And if your building is already hooked up for Comcast, they don't need to come over. They don't need to charge you to come over. You just need the numbers off of your Comcast modem and tell you, I've got the numbers, you don't need to come over.
Yeah.
Here you go. So, that is, of course, if the building is already wired up for Comcast.
Right.
Because it's a switch and some entries. That's all.
And the wiring isn't hosed, and the box isn't hosed, and, I mean, there's a lot of crap that can go wrong, too.
Well, once it's hooked up, there's really not going to be an issue.
You would think, and yet that's not true.
Well, I think they're making up things, if that's what they're telling you.
No, there have been issues where tenants leave, and when they disconnect things, they break wires and do all kinds of weird shit. Yeah.
There are
legitimate reasons.
Okay.
For repair. Or people who hack into the boxes sometimes destroy other bits of the box. Yeah. It happens.
So anyway, next week on the Webcomic Beacon, let's see here. That is going to be June 5th. We're going to be talking about journal comics. We're going to have a few people on. We're going to have Rory, who does Tiny Pink Robots. Leslie, who does Peeling Onions, and there's one more that I forgot. because I don't have it right in front of me. But we're going to have three journal comic creators on the show with us. And
good job.
Yes. And so be there for that. We might broadcast Web Fiction World, which would end up being episode 3 at that point. I'm not sure, but don't hold your breath. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we can have the new webcastbeacon.com site up for everybody. You can go over there now and check everything out and download and listen to episodes there. I've been keeping it up to date, and let us know if anything goes wrong with that. And then after we get the site up, I'll be doing the transition, which will basically make the original Webcomic Beacon site inaccessible, because I need to use the domain name. Which I'll be a little sad to see go, since I put a lot of work into this now 4-year-old Franken-coded theme.
Yeah.
Which doesn't have a lot of the features that that updates with WordPress.
Sometimes it's good to let things go, you know.
Well, I think I did a decent job so far.
Yeah.
It's functional.
Yeah.
At least.
It works. It does what it needs to do.
Mark's been awfully quiet on this show.
Well, there you are.
Oh, there he is. Mark.
So.
Yeah.
Just making sure you're still there.
I'm here.
So we got to think about something for episode 200, and hopefully we can come up with some good ones. If anybody has any ideas, of course, email webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, and we're, of course, on Twitter @webcomicbeacon. Once the new site comes up, there will be other Twitter accounts and other email addresses go to specifically the shows that they're going to be talking about, including Web Fiction World and The Tropecast. So stay tuned for news on that. I have been Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya of DaisiesAndShitProductions.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
Tune in for more at WebcomicBeacon.com.